from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report, and I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Pacific Gas and Electric has released new details about its settlement with the victims of fires caused by the utility. The terms include letting the company avoid an upcoming civil trial to determine liability for the 2017 Tubbs fire that killed 22 people. As my California Report co-host Lily Jamali reports, all eyes are now on Governor Gavin Newsom.
In the agreement announced Friday, wildfire survivors would get $13.5 billion, more than half of it in stock. That means wildfire survivors could end up with a sizable stake once the utility emerges from bankruptcy. But it's not a done deal yet. UC Hastings bankruptcy law professor Jared Elias says it still needs approval by Governor Gavin Newsom.
It seems that the governor really has until next Tuesday to decide if he wants to support the plan. If he doesn't support the plan in his sole judgment, then the settlement that was announced goes away.
Newsom has been one of PG&E's loudest critics since taking office.
For the California Report, I'm Lily Jamali.
Yesterday, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control issued another E. coli warning to consumers and retailers. The message? Stay away from packages of chopped salads produced by the Salinas-based company Fresh Express. 8 people in 3 states fell ill after eating the salads. The CDC doesn't know yet if the new outbreak is related to an ongoing E. coli warning focused on romaine lettuce grown in the Salinas area. When you call the 800 number for Fresh Express, this is what you hear.
All Fresh Express salad products currently sold in the United States and Canada do not contain romaine from Salinas. They contain romaine from other growing regions that regulators agree are not implicated in the outbreaks.
Some strains of E. coli bacteria can cause severe stomach cramps and vomiting and even death. And in more news about microorganisms, some interesting research out of a science conference in San Francisco this week. We know that wildfire smoke can carry ash and pollution over hundreds of miles. But fire scientists say there are also living things in all that smoke. KQED science reporter Danielle Venton explains.
Fire ecologist Lita Kobziar was thinking about how bacteria travel in the atmosphere when she went on a prescribed burn with her students.
And I just started thinking about the smoke in a new way and just wondering if there might be anything living in it.
Kobziar of the University of Idaho presented her research at the American Geophysical Union Conference in San Francisco. Turns out there is an astounding amount and diversity of bacterial cells and fungal spores lofted into wildfire smoke during a fire. The more severe the burn, the more cells transported. This is a new area of research, but Kobziar thinks these microbes may impact human health.
There are numerous allergens that we've found in the smoke, and so it may be that some people who are sensitive to smoke have that sensitivity not only because of the particulate matter in the smoke, but also because there are some biological organisms in it.
She believes these microbes may also be seeding snowflakes and affecting precipitation. For the California Report, I'm Danielle Venton.
New numbers released yesterday by U.S. Customs and Border Protection show the number of people caught crossing the southwest border illegally last month fell by a third compared to a year earlier. That's a drop from over 60,000 people to about 40,000. In the San Diego sector, the CBP reports a 40% decline in the number of apprehended families. In Washington, CBP Acting Commissioner Mark Morgan credited a host of Trump administration Get Tough immigration policies for the fall.
The era of catch and release is done. Coming to this country with a child is no longer going to be a passport in the United States. That is done.
Thousands of migrants, though, continue to travel north only to find themselves living in squalid conditions while waiting on the Mexican side of the border. And another immigration story. A Bay Area woman with a life-threatening condition who faced deportation has been allowed to remain in the U.S. The reversal comes after more than 400 sick immigrants were told to leave the country. KQED's Farida Javala Romero reports.
Maria Isabel Bueso has a rare genetic condition, and the medicine she needs to survive is available here, but not in her native Guatemala. Back in August, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services announced it was no longer reviewing requests for temporary humanitarian relief, known as medical deferred action. But last week, the government finally allowed Bueso and her immediate family to stay.
And I was so happy and so
relieved.
She says through her ordeal, she's learned not to be afraid to speak up.
And to know that your voice matters.
USCIS resumed consideration of deferred action in September after public outcry and a hearing called for by Bay Area Congressman Mark DeSaunier, in which Bueso testified. For the California Report, I'm Farida Yavala Romero.
Speaking of refugees seeking shelter, a nativity scene at a Southern California church featuring the baby Jesus in a cage is stirring controversy. KPCC's Eric Galindo has the story.
Outside of Claremont United Methodist Church, there are three large cages instead of a manger. Baby Jesus is in one cage, swaddled in a foil blanket. The Virgin Mary is in another cage, with her arms outstretched toward her child. Joseph is in the third cage. Reverend Karen Clark Ristine says the scene is meant to represent migrant families separated at the border.
We see the Holy Family standing in for nameless families, and we hope it inspires people to think about compassion.
The church has a long tradition of using its nativity scene as social commentary. Photos of this year's scene went viral, causing people like Steve Hampton to come out Monday morning to see it. He was not a fan.
I believe people have a right to say and do what they want to do, but I think this is inappropriate.
But others said they came to see the nativity because they were impressed by the powerful message. For the California Report, I'm Eric Galindo in Claremont.
And here's another holiday story, this time about the holiday shopping season. According to a report by PricewaterhouseCoopers, for the first time, consumers this year will do more of their holiday shopping online instead of in physical stores. So, how does a small, independent brick-and-mortar retailer in California keep up? I recently visited Cable Car Clothiers in San Francisco to talk about that. Founded in 1939, it's a family-run men's clothing store that sells old-school British fashion. Think tweed jackets, woolen caps, and walking sticks. Jonathan Levin is the store's manager.
I think we are definitely the last of the survivors in San Francisco. I mean, I think there's maybe a dozen other stores around the country. In most major cities throughout the Midwest and East Coast had three or four men's stores. We were just thankful for, you know, being in San Francisco. I think being in a city where there's a lot of activity and
there's still a remnant of people.
Yeah, and there's people who
want
can
this kind of clothing.
Exactly, and people have resources here, which is helpful. I think opening up a store in the middle of, you know, a suburb or something would be very difficult.
Why are you important? Why is a business like this important to kind of the life and times of a great city like San Francisco?
I think that at the end of the day, stores like Cable Car or stores that are very similar bring the community together. People still feel good about the tradition of going out with their family and shopping and picking up an item and touching it. I think that's definitely a lost part of business and something that you really can't capture over the internet. And quite frankly, San Francisco has a long and proud tradition, and a lot of people want us to survive. They say thank you for being in business, and they want to shop locally, and it makes them feel good. So I think that's what keeps us relevant, and we try to create an environment where people feel good and they can come in, take a break from work, and kind of harken back to another time, another era.
Again, that's Jonathan Levin of Cable Car Clothiers in San Francisco.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Earthquake Authority, a not-for-profit offering earthquake insurance to help Californians protect their financial futures. For more information, go to earthquakeauthority.com. Hint Water. Hint is water infused with fruit essences, including watermelon and blackberry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in grocery stores. Hint, mouth-watering water. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, December 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez in LA. Have a good day.